You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob. This is episode 943. Thank you guys for hanging out with us today. Appreciate it as always. Know you have a lot of options, and there's a lot of different things that you can do with your time, and you're spending some of it here, so we appreciate it very much.
We do appreciate it. We also appreciate your quest for value as a DSP or a drone service provider. How do you ensure that you have the value to be acquired or purchased by another drone provider or a company? How do you ensure that you're able to create a sustainable business over the long term? Is this something that you want to continue doing? How do you create that value, right? They say that your business is only as valuable as the systems that you enacted. So what systems have you enacted? Well, I'd like to preface today's question with all of that and so much more as we deep dive into creating value in a world with ever-growing acquisitions.
Hi, guys. My name's Todd. I'm from Northwest Ohio. I'm starting up a drone business here called Bird's Eye View. And my question, though, is, well, I guess with that in mind, is, do you guys see the small or one or two man drone business fading away with the growing number of large drone businesses? I recently heard of a large scale drone company buying up another fairly large scale drone company. I don't quite remember the names at the moment. But do you see the days of the small, for lack of a better term, mom and pop drone operation fading away? I'd just like to get you guys' thoughts on where you think that that might be going. Is it better to join up with the giants as far as drone businesses go? And on a side note, I've been thinking of adding an Inspire 2 to my drone fleet. With everything that's going on, I mean, with the Enterprise coming out and all that, do you guys feel that an Inspire 2 is a viable product? As strange as that sounds, I want to use it for film. I have some friends in the film industry, but I'd also like to use it for mapping. And I've even been given approval to by my wife to get a thermal camera and get certified in thermography. Anyway, sorry for the long-winded question. I hope you guys can answer this for me. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate the question. You know, that's something that we've heard a fair amount. We've even had emails from folks that say, love what you guys are doing, but there's just no way that there's going to be a place in this world for a small drone operator. And we would just say that's nuts.
That's so silly.
I would just say that's one less person that you're going to have to contend with, right? Somebody that has that that perspective on things. But I don't know what. So Paul, if
I don't know, I think of like Peter, right? Peter works at DJI.
Yeah,
right. He got a great salary, regular job. Mm-hmm. He also goes to school full time, 21 credit hours in a
semester. He's taking 21 credit mm-hmm. hours.
And makes more money than most people that I know who are living a life of mediocrity. And that, I mean, he's literally making, I don't even know, it's probably anywhere from 80 to 140K extra a year.
On drone jobs.
On the side, doing drone jobs. So I would say anyone who says, is there a spot for me? No, there's not a spot for you, because you need to grow up, you need to believe in yourself, and realize that hardcore, persistent, tenacious work is going to get you to a position of sustainability. And until you pull up your pants and realize that the only person who's going to make it happen is you there, sunshine, you're not going to make it. So pick up those pants and let's get moving.
And that's our show.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
All right. I'm good with that, Rob.
No, it's...
I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, you got to stop coddling yourself. Like, yes, there are opportunities if you're willing to go out there and get them. And yes, I know we're going to have a macro discussion about how, yes, there are opportunities abound. But yes, you must be able to create systems in your business so that they can be replicated and scaled and your company can become bigger. And that's where the real value is, because it's not in you. It's in the business and the systems. And when you become acquired, yes, you can actually walk away with a great exit strategy. But I just want to take it just a second and say, at the end of the day, it all comes down on how hard the person is willing to work for it. Okay? I said it.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's always been true. That's been true since the cavemen were making wheels, right?
Yep.
And they had to, one guy was making wheels and there was a consolidation. We're going to create a company that makes wheels for everybody. And then the other guy got left out and he said, no, I'm going to make a better wheel. So he kept his company going. It's always been that way. It's always going to be that way in terms of companies buying other companies. But there is a place for you if you're doing what you enjoy and love and you're willing to work at it, like Paul said. And we're always going to think that. That's not going to change unless just the paradigm becomes incredibly clear that that's not the case, which is hard to even imagine. You're going to have a place if you go work for it. That's just the bottom line. I mean, we could talk about this for a long time, like you said.
Yeah, I was just trying to get through.
And digest it.
I was just trying to get through. Look, guys, to answer the question, is there a space in the world for a DSP? The answer is yes. To answer your question, how do you maintain relevancy, sustainability, and the option to sell your business? The answer is you create systems where you scale each part of your company to work as autonomously as possible vis-a-vis other people and or autonomous systems.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third piece to that is you have to be a really damn good pilot, willing to stay on the cutting edge of information, staying relevant, willing to learn. So yes, as you have developed your system, they don't lose relevancy. Because you're constantly making sure that you're running the best system in the world.
Well, and I think that, so I think it was Warren Buffett that has said, there have been a couple of quotes that I've read lately, and I think it was him that said the number one skill that a person can have in terms of being successful in business is sales, is being a good salesperson. And that doesn't mean that you have to go read every single sales book that's out there as far as strategy and so forth. Obviously, that can help. But I think it's being confident in what you're doing, confident in your ability. It's being a good communicator, both in the written word and in the vocal word, in the verbal word. And if you can sell, then you really are going to have a place in this business. Obviously, you have to be able to fly. You have to be able to produce a product that people are going to want and that's going to make them happy. But if you can sell, you're going to be just fine. And that's no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, that is a very good point. That is a very good point. We've had shows about sales, and we have an entire class edition. The new part of the business course, I think, comes out here in the next week or two. And then I'm adding a new piece. I'm taking a piece from the mastermind course and just kind of throwing it in there.
Cool.
I think people need to hear it. So
absolutely.
But at the end of the day, I'm just kind of going back to the core here, Rob. Yeah, sales are really important, but you can only become a good salesman if you have systems. And I learned this when I worked for Aflac. I think actually Aflac has one of the best sales systems trainings I've ever been to. But if you think about it, sales, like your company, because your company is ultimately the sale of a product or a service, has these inflections, and you have your ups and your downs, right? Like a lot like the metaphor for my ring. You have a lot of ups and downs, and you got to learn to ride the wave. The way that you learn to ride the wave is by creating systems to counteract the super highs and counteract the super lows. So in sales, your cycle kind of goes like contact, 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 make meetings, schedule coffees, demos, flights, right? And you get more and more and more sales, and that kind of goes up and up and up. But as you service those sales, so like you go out, you fly the jobs, you do the admin, you follow up with the client, you do the deliverables. During that time, you're typically not going after new sales, right? So the actual number of sales starts to go down,
yeah.
Right? Now, this is what we call the sales cycle, right? You go out, you try to get leads, you get leads, and then you service those leads. And as you service those leads, less and less leads are coming in because you're not spending the time getting those leads. Okay, this is the sales cycle. In order to inhibit the sales cycle, what we try to do is create systems that we're constantly reaching out to our customers to stay relevant, but we're not overboard, right? We're just like, hey, this may help you, it may not. Great if it doesn't, great if it does. Now, with these systems, instead of kind of having this undulating pure sine wave kind of look to our graph, we really want to take that to a positive linear regression where essentially we're just slowly servicing sales, getting more and more of them. We have to focus on our delivery of the service and how we scale the service to do it faster, more efficiently, without losing quality, so that we can help more and more people, so that as we get more and more jobs, we're able to ride that line. I would say the key that most people miss in business is creating those efficiencies because it doesn't feel good. You don't like it. You become comfortable. Sometimes you have to fire someone. Sometimes you have to fire 12 people. Sometimes you have to cut expenses, and you have to tell someone you don't give a damn how they feel about it. And this is business, baby. And this is how it works. The thing is it's hard. It's not easy. But if you want to have that sustainability, you have to have the scale. To have a scale, you have to have the systems. To have the systems, you have to sell. Do you see how this all fits together?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Since I'm the only one sitting here?
I know. I know. I talk to the camera a lot.
But I do see. Yes, I see.
But I mean, you see what I'm saying, right? You brought up a very good point that at the end of the day, you have to sell. But at the end of the day, you have to sell at scale.
You do. And I think one of the systems that is perhaps most important as you begin to grow and scale, and I think you alluded to it, and that is communication with existing clients and past clients, because that's one of the ways that you get rid of those huge undulations is you get those past clients that are raving fans of yours to talk about you, right? And they become your salespeople.
True.
And that is one of the most important things that you can do for your business and its sustainability moving forward is get those people talking about you. Basically, like I just said, you want to create a sales force out of those past clients, and you want them to speak to other people about you such that they're saying, if you don't use this guy for what you're looking for, you're a fool. And that's what you want in your sales force, which is your past clients. And you can do that.
Agreed. 100%.
You can absolutely do that.
Agreed. I'm not sure I have much to add. I think that you have really knocked it out of the park.
Well, we answered his question, and at least from our perspective and our opinion, and that is there's absolutely going to be a place. That's the bottom line. Now, we didn't answer his question about drones.
What is his question about drones?
The Inspire 2 still a relevant drone was what he was asking.
The better question is, what formula should I use to determine if purchasing an Inspire 2 is a good idea?
Okay, so what's the formula?
I'm asking you, Rob. I'm putting the question now on you. Okay. We went full circle with this surprise.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, no, because look, how many potential clients do you have? What is it worth? In what field? So he just mentioned cinematography and mapping and thermal. Okay. Thermography, you typically need level 1 thermography certification.
Which he talked about getting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So hopefully soon we'll be offering that. I just need to answer my emails. In addition to that, he talked about mapping, which the Inspire is not good for. And then he talked about cinematography, which it's very good for. So I would say, what jobs do you potentially have lined up? And if you don't have any jobs lined up, which connections are you warmest with and do you believe that you can get jobs from? Then I would say, what is the diversity of the jobs that you can complete with said machine? And then from there, I would go into what drone is going to give me the best product the most reliably. I know I'm not answering this guy's question at all, and I have no intentions of doing so.
No, I actually think you are, but I would still say, if you're just going to compare at this point an Inspire 2 to a Phantom 4 Pro V2, I guess they're not, you can't even find those anymore, so maybe that's a dumb question.
Which really sucks. I just saw someone in the Drone U community saying, I'm selling my backup Phantom 4 Pro, and I almost said, send it to me. But you weren't around, so I couldn't be like, hey, business partner, can I spend $1,000? I didn't have a chance to call daddy.
So there's like a hole there now.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying. Yeah. And
it makes answering the question. So maybe that makes the Inspire 2 that much more relevant.
No, that's not the answer. No. The Inspire 2 literally costs double to do anything in mapping. So
I'm not talking about for mapping. I'm sorry. That's an important clarification.
He did try to bring up the fact that
he did.
While he likes the Inspire 2, he wants to use it for mapping. Whoop! Stop right there. You're
absolutely
not using it for mapping.
I was thinking more of the videography, cinematography side of things.
Which is a great
machine.
Because
clearly it's not for mapping. But is it still relevant for those other jobs?
It's. I mean,
do you use yours much still?
I love my Inspire 2. So the last drone job I did was for a music video for a rapper. And I used the Inspire 2 because it was the only drone that could handle the high winds and still get a smooth shot at high speed. But I typically fly things that are, they need up close shots. It's super difficult and they don't trust other people to do it. That's why people call me. And those are the only drone jobs that I do outside of Drone U. It's like, if you need someone to fly low and close at high speed, I'm your man.
There you go.
I want to have some like secret, like mysterious character that people like don't know it's me, and it's this amazing pilot. It's like the Stig, but I'm not going to wear a white suit. I'm going to wear a black suit. Okay. Anyway, I'm just trying to get all like philosophical over here.
That's philosophical.
No. No. I like to philosophize.
Anyways, there you have it.
You are not happy with the Mr. answer to Todd. That question.
No, I think it's I think in maybe a roundabout kind of way we answered it.
And maybe we should just cut the BS. He has got to figure out what he wants to do. And don't go spend $20,000 to go figure out what you want to do. Figure out who are the clients I want to work for. How many of those clients that I know, he says he knows a lot of these people, right? How many of those clients do you know that you actually believe if you went up to him at a cocktail party and said, hey, I would really love your time into showing something that I would bring you value. If you have any doubt or question in your mind that those people would not go have coffee with you, don't approach them. Just let it be. Okay?
Well,
now think about the people that would go have coffee with you because they know you, because they trust you, because you're their friend. Those are the people you need to go talk to and figure out what kind of drone jobs can I do? But these drone jobs must be relevant to things that you already do. Okay. This guy really needs to figure out and needs to deep dive. He needs to go get training. He needs to figure out what are the realistic sources of his revenue and how can you maximize your existing skills and augment them with new ones to deliver on that deliverable. Did we now answer the question?
I think we had before.
Okay. On that bombshell, that's going to do it for me. As you can tell, I'm a little tired. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.